these new members. Before I get to our scripture text today, I want to give us just a quick flyover in the scriptures at some of the places and circumstances where God breaks through and people experience the divine presence. We begin in a garden, and then in a field, and on a boat, on a mountain, in a city, in the wilderness, under the night sky, around oak trees, by a stream, in a prison, and at a burning bush. Those are just a few of the places, and we've only made it to Exodus 3, only the second book of the Bible. And in those places, not only does God show up in a diverse array of places, but also to people in a whole variety of circumstances. God appears to a couple hiding in shame, to an unrepentant murderer, in a promiscuous and godless society, and to a righteous man. God shows up to encounter power-hungry groups trying to construct an empire. God shows up to a woman barren and jaded, and to a woman rejected and sent away. God shows up to a man coming face to face with past sins, to a visionary with shattered dreams, and to a refugee tending sheep. This almost reads like a Dr. Seuss book, a Sam I Am. Could you find God on a boat, in a mountain, so on, right? And so, friends, I hope you see that it is not a stretch, whether our church building is open or not, to say that, yes, we can absolutely experience and encounter God in the midst of a pandemic, while homeschooling kids, in the backyard trimming trees, at the office finishing paperwork, in the bathroom cleaning the shower, feeling proud and hopeful or anxious and ashamed, confused or convicted, filled with faith, or drowning in doubt. None of these situations or places are places where the Holy Spirit cannot meet us, comfort us, transform us, and shift our lives. And so it might be too much for any of us to say that every moment of our lives is holy. I know I haven't unlocked that level of spirituality for myself yet. I do not live as though every moment is holy, encountering God in every moment. But maybe it would suffice us to say for now that any moment can be holy. Any place, any circumstance, any experience of your mind or heart or your body, God can show up. And so what we've been doing this summer is trying to cultivate the eyes of our hearts to see God in those moments, to experience God's presence in those places and in those situations. And hopefully, more frequently, we are then able to live into that presence, live into the holiness of that moment, rather than either miss it completely because we're so focused on whatever else we're doing, or run away from it because it shocks us or makes us feel uncomfortable. And so I want to spend our last message for this summer series in the text, in a letter that we've been in really the whole summer, in the book of Colossians, in Paul's letter to the Colossians. And I'm going to read two sections, chapter 1, verse 15 through 20, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. He, the Son, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is at the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Chapter 3. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so, friends, I hope you heard all of the alls and everythings and each throughout that text. And so what we see in Paul's letter to the Colossians is really a tour de force in telling us what the gospel is, that because sovereign grace, the sovereign grace and redemption of God fill the entire cosmos, reconciling all things in Christ. Because of that, we are able and beckoned to access and experience and act upon that grace and that redemptive presence of God in the very specific personal moments of our lives. There is no area of our lives or the world that is not being brought under the lordship of Christ. Another way of saying that all things are being brought into the cosmic pattern of self-giving love. And it is our invitation through the good news of Jesus to ride that wave of God's world-transforming and renewing grace. and this whole concept, I wanted to close with this idea of what's known as Gestalt therapy. It's a German word. It's a German kind of therapy. It's a kind of mental health counseling or therapy. It's used in a variety, alongside a variety of other approaches. But in this type of therapy, there is the belief that everything that happens in a counseling session, everything that happens in our lives, has potential for discovery, and can be a point of growth. So like in a counseling session, for instance, maybe the therapist says something to you and you have this amazing moment of insight and you realize all the pieces of your life are put together and you understand things in a new way and your life has changed. And that's what I think many of us would hope for in a therapy session. But a Gestalt therapist would say, even if that doesn't happen, maybe the therapist says something to you and it really ticks you off at the therapist. Even that says something, exposes something about what's going on inside of you and is worth exploring together. Like, why did that upset you so much? Why did that trigger something in you? And I think it is wise for us then to cultivate, to take this concept of Gestalt therapy and apply it to spirituality. That's another way of saying that every moment is holy. Every moment is an opportunity. Even as we saw last week, those moments when anger wells up in us, it's a moment to reflect on where is that coming from and what might God be doing deep in my heart and in my soul. We've talked throughout the summer about the Kairos circle. This is where we kind of take a break in the pattern of Chronos time, the minutes and seconds and minutes and days and months and years that just kind of we just go through as human beings. We just stop in those in a moment and go deeper into one of those experiences. Again, whether it's anger or whether it's something we're celebrating or a challenge or a decision that we're facing, we stop in that moment and we go around the circle reflecting on how is God calling me to see this situation, and then how is God inviting me to act in light of this, in light of God's grace and movement in this situation? And this is all because we have a Savior who we know as incarnate in the flesh, embodied, a Savior we know as crucified, and a Savior we know as risen. And so whether it's just the mundane things and tasks of embodied physical existence, or whether it's our experiences of suffering and even death, or whether it's those moments of joy. Every one of those moments is a moment for potential encounter, blessing, growth, ministry. If we are willing to make it into a Kairos moment through our faith and through our willingness to stop and pay attention to what God is doing. Now, I think one of the questions is, you know, then where does the church fit in? We might be like, wait a second, are you telling me not to come to church? Well, no, I'm not saying that. But I do think it shifts how we think about church. Instead of thinking, oh, a good Christian goes to church, we should think a good church grows a Christian. In other words, church attendance is not the goal, and it's not the measure of your faith or your spirituality. But participation in a church, in the community and in the rhythms of life that we form as a church community are vital. And they're vital for at least, hopefully, two reasons. One, we need to be around other people and teachings that remind us and help us to be more aware of the Spirit's movements in all the areas of our lives. That when we get together with someone else, we need someone to, you know, kind of say, hey, you know what? What if God is in that? Or hey, remember, we're looking for God no matter what the situation is. How is God at work in our lives right now? So that's one thing we do as a community. We encourage each other in that work. The second purpose of the church, and what hopefully our churches are accomplishing, is that we are communities where we can practice forgiveness, speaking the truth in love, bearing each other's burdens, encouraging each other, having the word of God dwell richly in us. Like, this should be a place where we can practice those things in a safe and grace-filled place. Because when we come together as a community, the church is not a bunch of perfect people. There are no perfect churches out there. There are going to be chances. If you get close to people, if you commit, and if you participate, there are going to be opportunities where you have to forgive other people and if you want to keep going, or when you need to be forgiven because of something you've said or done. So this is a place, it's a place where God's Spirit can be working in us, and we can start, you know, doing some of these things that Paul talks about, of how do we practice this resurrection faith in our real lives. Well, that's what the church community can be for us. And so our church experience should both help us to experience the loving and blessing presence of God in the various moments and places in our lives. So when we gather, it should equip us to go out and experience Christ in the various places that we go outside of our church community life. And it should help us be able to become more the presence of Christ to others in moments and places where we have a chance to do ministry and to serve and to love other people. Now the problem is, sometimes church and even our spiritual practices, whether it's a Bible reading time in the morning or whether it's prayer at lunchtime or before meals, right? Sometimes church and our spiritual practices just become part of the cruise control mode in which many of us just live our lives normally. And the rich contemplative tradition of the church is really clear that spirituality is all about getting out of cruise control. You know the feeling where you don't like really have to, aren't really paying attention, deep attention to stuff. You're just kind of getting things done or going through the motions of life. Our spirituality, like all of life, can just be one of the motions that we go through. Now, when I'm on cruise control in my car, and maybe if you ever use cruise control, maybe on long trips on the freeway, or just to keep your speed at a level where you're not going to get busted, right? Just me? No. Okay. When I'm on cruise control in my car, nothing annoys me more than someone making me hit the brakes and go back into manual, right? Start actually having to pay attention to my speed and the gas pedal again. That's so aggravating to me because I want to just keep going and not have to pay attention to that thing. Of course, I'm paying attention to the road, but not that thing. The problem is, in this metaphor, that force that forces us to break and disrupts our cruise control is often God. And it can be aggravating. And so the church is this community where we, you know, nudge each other or clap each other out of the cruise control and say to one another, hey, you know that thing that's really aggravating you right now because you can't just blow through it and be successful in it? Yeah, that's actually God at work in your life. That's part of what the church does, is we help each other to get out of cruise control and be more mindful and aware of what Christ is doing in us, which forces us to stop and go through that Kairos circle of repentance and reflection and then transformed action. And so that, in my mind, is gestalt spirituality. It's recognizing that your mundane, your ordinary, your interruptions and your disruptions, your anger, your experiences of beauty, your times of connection, your relationships, your solitude, and your social life is a sacrament where you can encounter love and love can transform you in healing and redemptive and transformative ways. And so you can be then, if we're paying attention, if we're finding Christ in these various moments of our lives, then we can be a new person in the world. And whether that's just for the next moment, I have a moment where I'm like, okay, I can be patient in this moment, or I can forgive in this moment. Or maybe those encounters last a little bit longer in ways that reverberate through our lives and actually change not just how we act in the next moment, but who we are over the long haul. And so as we've talked about throughout the summer, we're gonna practice this one more time, that so much of this is about stopping, being still, noticing, and then asking, what is God doing in this? And so I'm going to guide us now through one more meditation for the Spirituality in the Wild series. We're going to keep doing this for sure, because it's such a key part of that. But let's take a moment now, and I would encourage you to get in a place where, a place in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit, where you can be present to God. And what I ask you to do first is choose something. And again, it can be anything. This is gestalt spirituality. This is anything, can be a moment. Maybe it's an experience you've had in the last 24 hours, or maybe you just want to focus on this moment. So choose either a circumstance that you've been in, or in this moment, what you're experiencing, and begin to breathe. Slowly. And as you breathe, begin to be more in tune with the breath of God. Remember, the Spirit of God, the breath of God in and out, always moving within you and away from you. And now as you breathe, notice. Begin to notice your thoughts. Begin to notice your feelings. What are you feeling right now in this moment? Notice your body. Where are you tense? Where are you free? Where is there aches and pains? Notice. Now, as you're more present with yourself, now maybe we're prepared to receive the presence of God and have an encounter. So now, in this moment, ask, where are you, God? What are you doing in me? Where are you in my thoughts and feelings and in my body right now? What do I need right now or in this situation? How are you moving around me? These questions can feel just a little bit like we're groping in the dark, We're trying to feel our way through, and it can be really hard to put our hands and our fingers on what God is doing and where God is at work. I just want to remind us that the deeper we are in tune with the life and the story of Jesus and the kinds of things we read in Colossians 3, the more clues we have as we discern God's presence and work in our own lives and in our own realities. So we sit with God and ask, God, where are you at work? Where are you moving in me and around me? Where do I find clues of Christ? Fingerprints of the Holy Spirit. And you are welcome to pause the video right now and sit with this for longer. But I'm going to ask then that we would get to a place where we can now live, not just pray, not just meditate, but to live our lives in the presence of the love that we have encountered in this moment with Christ. Breathe, notice, ask, live. These are the keys to spirituality in the wild.